Ergonaut's feet as it moved to step on the same bridge its ill-fated brother had used. The Juggernaut stopped, as if it was fighting through molasses. It tried to march forward, to try to follow its creator's bidding.
"Yeah, that's it! You're mine now! Mine!" Jake yelled out.
Sweat poured from his face, as purple and black swirled in his eyes. The Juggernaut seemed to shake slightly before it stopped its movement. All resistance left the bone Juggernaut as it turned around.
"Kill!"
Jake pointed at the undead around it. It started to cleave through them. Another necro hit Jake on the back.
"Dude, what did you do? None of the undead are moving," they asked.
"Stop," Jake said. The bone Juggernaut halted, looking out over the undead horde. It was eerily quiet, as undead collapsed and fell over.
Ting.
A pop-up blocked Jake and all of the Stone Raiders' visions. Quest. Aleph Homecoming. You have defeated former Lord Alastair Montgoa, betrayer of the Aleph. His creatures and experiments have been destroyed. You have cleared the Aleph College. Rewards. Increase your technology advancements by 35%. Access to the Aleph Libraries. 345,000 experience. Increased standing with Aleph people.
Quick! Start claiming the best of the undead before they can be destroyed!
Jake said in a panic. The Necros rushed to obey as the rest of the Stone Raiders let out a cheer that filled the Aleph College. The entire Aleph Council was in shock. All of them had seen Dave's final actions. The power coming off him had been like nothing that they had ever seen before. Even dying through the Archlich's curse, he burned his very life force in order to carry out one last and final act. He dove from the hanging library of the Aleph's rarest works, like some kind of fallen angel. Brilliant light consumed Dave and the book he was holding as the Archlich raced toward him. Dave's final act destroyed the phylactery. The Archlich disintegrated in pained screams. Debris and Dave's floating tombstone were the only things to touch the ground. Humbir couldn't understand what the capsule Dave had been in was, or what grew from it. He had never seen such powerful magic in his life. Black smoke spread through the area with the Lich's death. Everything it touched seemed to decay and wither in seconds. Old wards flared to life, trying to protect their books, only to be washed away in the destructive power. Half of the Grand Library seemed to be eaten from the inside. Stone Raiders fell down, the effect of the decaying spell making them writhe in pain in the remaining rubble. The feed went dead. The council members leaned forwards, as if willing it to come back. With a flash, it did. The library now had a massive hole in its roof, and was coming apart, as structural members were disintegrated by the Archlich's curse. Induka, Malsor, Anna, and Steve were all laying on the ground outside of the library. Malsor and Steve had some bad injuries that seemed to be trying to eat through them. However, while they were able to stop the curse, Anna and Induka were crying out in pain as it raged through their bodies. Power poured out of Malsor as he worked to stop the curse. Steve, who was more parts than man, crawled over with one arm to help. Hamdir's shaky hand wiped his face as he watched the Stone Raiders' own necromancers running through the undead horde as if they were in a candy store, picking out the best-conditioned creatures, controlling them, and making them gather other undead for them to use. Creatures they had been fighting just minutes ago, they were now turning into their minions.
"I know now why people were so scared of making enemies of the players,"
Hamdir's low and shaky voice carried through the silent room.
"Trust is rewarded with trust," Shard said, letting those words sink into their minds.
There were only a handful of facilities that needed to be worked on before the Stone Raiders were finished clearing out the Aleph's beleaguered facilities.
We must become allies with them. They might not be the cleanest or know the proper etiquette, but as I said, we must step forward into the future to see new horizons. With the Stone Raiders, they would give their lives hundreds of times just to keep an agreement with us.
Hamdir felt assured in their final reward. It was not the largest they could give, but it was one that showed the Aleph's trust, thanks, and hope for both of their groups to grow in the future. After what he had seen, he doubted anyone would argue it was too much when the Aleph people were just starting to get their feet under them.
Dave sighed and looked at the white that filled his vision. You have died in Amarillia. You have been returned home. You have 5 hours and 59 minutes, game time, until you can respawn at Alephir, or 1 hour, 59 minutes in real life. Would you like to play a different game while you wait? He sat up from the simple couch he was resting on. Dave sat up in a rush, opening his interface, connecting to his party chat.
What's going on? Is everyone okay? He demanded.
Dave felt a threat of fear in his heart. Bob said that Dia was now a player, but a part of him was still scared that she wouldn't respawn.
Dave, what the hell is going on?
Dia asked, panic in her voice.
We died. That arch lich must have used one of its legendary attacks.
Want to come over to my home? Dave asked, his hand shaking from the anxiety of possibly losing her.
Is that what this place is? It looks just like your house,
Dia said, her tone filled with interest instead of worry, making Dave laugh dryly, putting his nerves at ease. It must have taken an imprint of what you think of as home and turned it into reality.
Send me an invite to join you, Dave said.
Damn, I need to do some renovations.
Susie commented over the party chat.
Everyone go to your interface panel. Go down to Home Options. You should have the option to join friends. There should be an invite to the Stone Raiders Guild Hall. Click on that and we can meet up with the rest of the Stone Raiders, Dave said, following his own instructions. Dave appeared in the lobby of the Guild Hall. Stone Raiders cheered as he and the rest of Party Zero and the Stone Raiders who had come with them to the Grand Library appeared. Dave and the others laughed and smiled. Word seemed to have come back from the players online. The Arch Lich was dead.
It took more of us than I would like to think, but we got him.
Dave was just starting to realize how terrifying respawning was. He grabbed Dia, bringing her into a deep kiss. She tensed, embarrassed about kissing in front of so many other people. After a few moments, she stopped caring. She gave herself into the kiss and grabbed onto Dave. The exhilaration of the fight and the fear of death were a powerful aphrodisiac. Dave checked his timer.
You have died in Amarillia. You have been returned home. You have 4 hours, 8 minutes game time until you can respawn at Alephir. Or, 1 hour, 37 minutes in real life. Would you like to play a different game while you wait?
What do you say if we go back to your place?
He asked, their foreheads together, sharing the same heated breath. Dia's face lit up in a smile as she bit her lip. She pulled back and rested in his arms that were holding her.
What makes you think I'd invite you back to mine?
She asked playfully.
Well, I can't very well be saying that in present company.
Dave grinned.
Good to know someone noticed me, even if it was for the slight inconvenience that I present,
Susie said dryly. Dia's eyes thinned, her teeth teasing her lower lip. Finally, she brought up her interface. After she punched a few buttons, they disappeared from the guild hall and reappeared in Dave and Dia's house in Cliff Hill.
Oh, you beautiful lady.
Josh fell onto his bed, still fully clothed.
Josh, we've got more people coming back from their respawns, and the Aleph are asking if they can help in any way.
Duane asked. After dying, he was now the section leader with the most energy.
Tell Lucy, Josh said, his face buried in his bed.
Will do, Duane said. Josh kicked off his clothes, wrestling with himself about having a shower. He marched over, luxuriating in a quick shower before he made his way back to his bed and pulled the sheets over himself. There was still all of the college to sort out. The amount of loot was incredible, and there were all kinds of drops all over the place. There was still a mining facility and the portal factory to be fixed, but they would be the last two facilities. The Stone Raiders who had respawned were taking over the duties of those who had survived. Josh pulled his cover tight, a pleased smile on his face. He'd deal with the rest in the morning. They'd taken on the strongest raid yet, and won.
So, what are we doing next? Helping the demons? Dave asked, as Malsor cut down massive metal structures that seemed to have grown throughout the mining area organically.
Once we have the demons also able to build instead of just react to what is going on around them, we'll start to see them and the Beastkin working together into a new force in Ashal. Few forces have really flourished in Ashal. The land promotes small kingdoms where people can control everything that goes on in it. They come for the highest level dungeons and raids. The prizes they gain are more than Ophir earns in 10 years. It's led to many people fighting in the area instead of coming to the table and talking of an alliance. The demons are strong, but they are not as strong as those around them. Once they defeat the Dark Lord's forces, they will have the time to train, establish themselves, and grow in strength, Malsor said. Darklings appeared and took away the pillars of metal and stone Dave had cut down by conjuring items into the pillars and destroying them. There were other teams of Stone Raiders helping out with their dark magics or their brute strength in other places. There was a celebratory feeling in the air. They had defeated the Arch Lich, and now they just had to do some repairs and they would have completed their quest.
Do you think we would have defeated that Arch Lich if he was at full power and didn't underestimate us?
I don't think so. He was incredibly powerful. You only have to look at Jake's new Juggernaut minion. He probably had a number of spells that could have defeated the fortress. He simply didn't think that we were capable of defeating him. And even if we got close, his runes and traps were powerful. He should have had time to stop us if we attacked him. At least theoretically.
With your abilities to destroy the magical formations and runes that protected the phylactery, we exceeded what he thought we were capable of.
I think he got used to the low-level creatures and undead around him. Just new fodder to be used in his creations.
They had some differences between one another, but the undead were largely the same. He kept back his strongest forces, using his weakest ones to swarm us and test their abilities.
That's what I was thinking. Dave shook his head. Let's take a break. I forgot to check my new notifications.
They wandered through the mining facility, watching as metal and stone was cut away to free the machinery underneath, and the massive crushers that ate through the area. A teleport pad had been built into the rear of their moving drills. Materials were taken straight from the crusher and teleported to the forges, where it was refined out. Any waste materials were then teleported into the Densau Ring of Fire. There was no need for massive lines of carts to take the material from one facility to another. Just connect the drills to whatever forge had space in its refinery and keep going. Dave was pleased with their progress. Now that everyone was recovering, they had the guild members needed to free the crusher units, and crafters were working on fixing any issues with them. He opened up his notifications as they walked. Active skill. Spell formation. Level, expert, level 10. Effect, you use 20% less mana, and your spells are 83% stronger. Passive skill, dodge. Level, master, level 3. Effect, 89% chance to evade objects. 15% faster when fighting more than two opponents. Passive skill. Perception. Level. Master. Level 5. Effect. 95% chance to find hidden details. 25% chance at better loot. Active skill. Two-handed. Level. Master. Level 1. Effect. 41% armor penetration on target. Stamina costs reduced 20% while fighting. Can use two-handed weapons in one hand at 50% increased stamina cost. Cost, 35 stamina. Active skill, dual wield. Level, master, level 1. Effect, attacks are 41% faster. 5% chance of slowing target. Cost, 15 stamina. Active skill, inference. Level, expert, level 5. Effect, 73% increased chance of using moves you've read in books. Active skill, one-handed and shield. Level, master, level 1. Effect, weapons damage increased by 41%. Defense increased by 20%. Shield bash is 5% more likely to stun opponent. Cost, 20 stamina. Active skill, soulsmith. Level, expert, level 6. Effect, 75% less soul energy necessary for crafting with soulsmith. Cost, dependent on creation. Active skill, builder. Level, master, level 6. Effect, 95% speed and efficiency. Creation's material cost is reduced by 30%. Required, tools. You have earned a new class, Weapons Master. You've trained with every combination of weapons, earning mastery in all of them. For your perseverance, you are awarded the Weapons Master class. Status, level 1. Effects. Plus 20 vitality, plus 10 endurance, plus 15 strength, plus 15 agility. Level 119. You have reached level 119. You have 541 stat points to use. Stat increase. Plus 1 strength, plus 2 intelligence, plus 2 agility, plus 2 vitality. Plus 1 endurance, plus 1 willpower. You have died. For dying, you lose 3 levels and their associated points. You lose your classes. You can gain them back by gaining level 10 again. You have lost your equipment not already soulbound. You have lost 130 gold, 7 silver, and 8 coppers. You have claimed your tombstone. For recovering your tombstone, you gain 1 level back. All items you are carrying, not including monetary losses. Level 117. You have reached level 117. You have 531 stat points to use. Dying at level 10 isn't that bad, except that the classes keep on resetting, not letting you get anything else. You don't lose too many levels, but it still means every time I die, I have to put points back into my stats to bring me back up to 10. Dave went to his status screen, putting his stat points back in, raising him back up to level 10 once again. Character sheet. Name, David Groslog. Gender, male. Level, 10. Class, Dwarven Master Smith, Friend of the Grey God. Bleeder, Librarian, Aleph Engineer, Weapons Master. Race, Human Dwarf. Alignment, Chaotic Neutral. Unspent Points, 531. Health, 14,300. Regen, 5.04 per second. Mana, 2,930. Regen, 13 per second. Stamina, 2,080. Regen, 10.20 per second. Vitality, 143. Endurance, 252. Intelligence, 293. Willpower, 260. Strength, 208. Agility, 204. I think it might be time that I started putting my stat points into my character, Dave mused aloud. Oh? Are you not gaining your stat points as fast naturally anymore? Nope. It's coming down to the point where it's faster for me to level up than it is for me to get stat points through my actions. Malsor nodded sagely. Then it does seem like it might be time for you to put those points to use. Remember to not overdo it like you did when making it to level 10. Don't need you running into ceilings and the like. Malsor laughed. Ugh, don't remind me. Dave considered his character sheet. With his diminishing returns on stats by just straight training, he would have to look at leveling as well as gaining new classes in order to increase his power. What are my quests for the different classes? Dave went through his active quest logs to find the class quests. A pop-up jumped into his face. Quest. Dwarven Master Smith, level 2. You have completed the level 2 quest for this class. Rewards. Unlock level 3 quest. Plus 10 to all stats. Stacks with previous class level. 200,000 experience. Dave swiped it away, only to have another leap up. Class. Dwarven Master Smith. Status. Level 2. Effects. Allowed access to all dwarven mountains and smithies. Allowed to take on smithing apprentices. Plus 20 to all stats. Access to special quests. Okay, so the class tells me the overall gains I've made from the class. Kind of like a reminder of what I would lose if I was to die and drop below whatever level I gained the class at, Dave said to himself. He gained a plus 10 from the increase in class level, but his class window showed not only the rewards from the class level, but all the rewards that the class gave, from his access and privileges to the plus 20 from having both level 1 and 2 of the Dwarven Smith class. He checked the new quest that became available with the completion of the level 2 quest. Quest. Dwarven Master Smith level 3. You must craft 10 weapons of S quality with your smithing art. Currently, 3 of 10. Rewards. Unlock level 4 quest. Increase to stat gain. Dave went to his settings, wondering why he hadn't seen the quests before. Damn it! Turned off the class quests alert when I was trying to get all of the notifications out of my face when I first came here, Dave grumbled. He could have used those extra stats when he was fighting the undead.
Something the matter? Malsor asked.
Just pulled an idiot move.
Malsor made an understanding noise as Dave returned to the class quests.
Quest. Friend of the Grey God, level 3. Complete the quest, Aleph Homecoming. Rewards, unlock level 4 quest. Increase to stats. Quest, Bleeder, level 2. Complete the quest, Aleph Homecoming. Rewards, unlock level 3 quest. Increase to stats, unknown.
Damn, 2 class increases. I will take that.
Dave scrolled down to his other quests.
Quest. Librarian, level 2. Conduct research that allows you to understand how to create your own teleport pad. Rewards. Unlock level 3 quest. Increase to stats. Quest. Aleph Engineer, level 2. Finish repairing all Aleph facilities mentioned in the quest, Aleph Homecoming. Rewards. Unlock level 3 quest. Increase to stats. Unknown.
Quest. Weapons Master, level 2. Kill 100 enemies with every weapon type. One-handed and shield, 13 of 100. Two-handed, 41 of 100. Dual wielding, 46 of 100. Archery, 0 of 100. Rewards. Unlock level 3 quest. Increase to stats.
Dave read the quests over again a few times.
What now? Malsor sighed.
Dude, I've got like 4 of my classes offering a reward for me to complete the Aleph Homecoming quest, Dave said, his shock clear.
It's not really that hard to understand. This quest is one of the hardest I've ever heard of. It needs a lot of people with different skill sets working together for a long period of time to try to complete it. We only won against the Arch-Lich through mainly luck. The other facilities we've come to had to have knowledge that was beyond us at one time or another. Right now, even you are stumped with what we have to do for the Aleph Portal Factory. You know several different runic languages, and have refined magical circuits into magical coding. I don't know of any other group that would have been able to get this far. That said, I don't know if it will be possible to finish this quest. That portal factory is so complex that many people could spend years and not understand how to get it working. Malsor's words sank in. Even if they cleared out all of the different facilities, the factory, by itself, would stop them from completing their goal. A smile started on Dave's face, not one of nostalgia or defeat, but one of a man sensing a challenge, one that he was determined to meet. Malsor, get your reading glasses on. We're going to the Aleph College. It's time I put some of these stat points to use, and we figured out how we can fix that Aleph portal factory, Dave declared, walking for the teleport pad. Malsor's lips lifted up as he saw Dave's inner curiosity and pursuit of knowledge rise to the occasion once again.
What is it?
A light blinked on Elidorn's interface, waking her up. Her husband made an annoyed sound and rolled away as her interface bloomed into existence. She rubbed his elvish back, eliciting a pleased noise. She smiled at her husband as she accepted the chat invite with Shard.
I thought that you would like to know that Dave Graslog and Malsor Drakul are within the Grand Library and are searching through the library for books that might help them on the Portal Factory, Shard said, his voice light.
Huh? But it would take them years to learn that all, she muttered,
still half asleep. As she rubbed her husband's back, hearing the light snores as he drifted off to sleep.
Maybe not. With their high intelligence, and their skills and insights, it might be possible. Malsor has extensive knowledge on all things magical, and has shown a complex mind capable of proving and disproving theories that have been stagnant for many years. Dave is largely focused on the materialistic items that he interacts with. He did not become a dwarven master smith so quickly on just his good looks.
Shard's voice was dry.
Are you telling me that they could figure out how teleport pads and portals work?
Elidorn's voice became serious as she ground her underbite and upper teeth together.
I think that given enough time, it is possible. They do not need to sleep for extended periods of time. With their librarian classes, they are able to understand more. It comes down to Malsor, really. Dave can create most things he comes to understand. There are a bunch of theories and ideas that go beyond the normal thoughts, sciences, and magical practices that create the portals and teleport paths. Items that would take Dave a long time to figure out. But Malsor, he could very well put the pieces together.
Can we stop them?
Shard paused before responding, showing the debate he had in relating his words.
As you know, I overhear a great number of conversations. I trust Dave and Malsor completely, but my core programming made me pay attention to their conversation. Dave and Malsor have class-related quests that will be activated once they complete the quest Aleph Homecoming. I have been checking other keywords to other ongoing conversations. It seems that the majority of the Stone Raiders, if not all of them, have class-related quests that will be completed by finishing Aleph Homecoming due to its complex and difficult nature.
Is there any way we can make the quest complete?
Elidorn asked.
No.
So we either disrupt their quest to try to make sure that they don't get the knowledge of the portals and teleport pads, or we allow them to learn the secrets of the different devices.
Ella Dorn sat upright in her bed, grinding her teeth. Her husband smacked her side.
You'll hurt your teeth doing that, love, he said sleepily.
Sorry for waking you. Go back to sleep.
She rubbed his back once again.
This is where we truly decide how much we trust them. To let them know our biggest secrets, and the center of our power and society.
Ella Dorn rose from her bed and closed the chat.
You going somewhere, love?
Ella Gull rolled over and looked at his orcish wife.
I'm off to the college. It seems a decision must be made and warnings given.
She had a grim look on her face. Ella Gull laughed at her expression.
I remember when we were in the college and we were the ones getting told to not look into matters beyond our abilities. I'm glad we did anyways. Wouldn't have figured out the new power plants otherwise.
Ella Gull's chuckle turned into a yawn. He opened his golden eyes, finding her muddy brown ones.
Well, I have been looking forward to seeing the old place.
He stood and stretched. His lithe body showed scars on his back, as well as a burn mark on his neck, the elven symbol for heretic. She smiled as he pulled his clothes on. With her powerful magic, she had extended her life by possible decades, giving her more time with her love. He was a little less wild than when she had first met him, but his body seemed to have only aged years instead of the decades they had been together.
I don't need you following me around like some wounded pup.
She crossed her arms and put out her underbiting jaw.
Oh, I forgot how cute you looked when you're trying to be all archmage, he said,
pulling on his shirt. He activated his hotkey set. Thick silver clothes appeared over his undergarments, a sword at his side, and a bow on his back. He looked every part of the warrior he was. His long, silver, almost white hair was pulled back into a braid. She frowned as he walked closer.
We don't both need to go,
she tried to argue as he put his hands on her elbows. After a few moments, she let her arms drop to her sides.
But it would be much more fun if we did.
He grinned, giving her a quick smile, and turned for their apartment door.
You coming, Councilwoman Ella Dorn? There's adventures to be had.
He gave her a roguish wink. For a moment, Ella Dorn was once again a young orcish maiden, headed off on adventures with her friends to reveal the magical truths of Emerylia and become the strongest mage of the Aleph, right beside her own elven knight.
Who made you the leader of this trip?
She smiled and caught up to Ella Gull as he opened the door. Chapter 22 Thinning the Horde. Krenua stepped out of the shadows, his footfalls silent as he followed behind one of his fellow mages. The mage grabbed the demon taking a piss. There was a brief smell of ozone as the demon dropped. More of the DCA wandered out of the darkness, knocking out the new demons, others grabbing them and hauling them back. Krenua moved into a caged area where meat had been stored. A guard was eating a large haunch of meat, congealed blood on its chest and arms, as it looked for other demons trying to take its food. Krenua made a quick run. He kicked out its legs and his arms wrapped around its neck before it could cry out. As the demon fell into unconsciousness, more of the demon army seemed to creep out of the shadows. Krenua let the unconscious guard down slowly. He pulled out a vial from a pouch on his belt and poured it over the meat in the cage. He hauled the unconscious guard over his shoulder, headed back out of the camp. An owl let out a call. The demon army melted back into the shadows. They had killed or knocked out around 100 of the Dark Lord's minions. The horde was thinner as the demon army stole into the night.
Good work,
Lazar looked at their forces after a 15-minute sprint and 30-minute flight.
Now let's see what information we can get from these bastards.
Lazar stretched out his wings, letting out his full aura. Krenua and the rest of the demon army stopped suppressing their auras. The demons sent by the Dark Lord looked at them with wild eyes. When they focused on Lazar, their bodies started to shake with instinctual fear.
Now, I want to know a few things. I want to know who's in charge. Who are your strongest demons, and what the hell the dark shit stain did to you lot?
Lazar's voice pulled every one of the 50 or so demons that were bound, looking at their ancient ancestors.
We will eat you!
The declaration came out in halting Abyssal. The demon was punched by a beastkin so hard there was a dent in its skull as it dropped to the ground.
Come on, Olivia! Fuck, he was the best out of all of them!
Lazar rubbed his face. The beastkin shrugged.
Didn't think they were that weak. Sorry, General.
Olivia, a mix of elk and human, said.
Apology accepted. Now, someone put runes on them and we'll see what the hell they know,
Lazar said. Krenua nodded. Lazar would have given her a physical beating just a few short months ago. Krenua was pleased and proud with what his people had learned in their time away from Amarillia. They didn't use beatings to mete out punishments. Grueling physical feats and the knowledge that you had messed up and screwed over your friends were much more powerful motivators as they became a second family to one another. Krenua had never seen the demons more motivated to strengthen themselves, not even when the ranks were based on physical prowess. Krenua watched as simple rune necklaces were placed around the captured demons' necks.
Take half of them back to Devil's Crater, as well as the dead we recovered,
Lazar said to Krenua.
They're going to want your first-hand reports of what we saw in there.
Yes, General.
Krenua opened his interface and sent messages to his parties, as he pulled out some of the prisoners. Medics knocked the prisoners out again as they all grouped together. Krenua looked over his people when they'd all arrived.
Let's go!
Wind mages conjured air around them, as the demons used their feet to grab onto their comrades who couldn't fly, or their unconscious burdens. They rose into the air. The air tunnel died, and they started to glide and flap their wings, making their way to Devil's Crater. Alcal looked to Krenua. The man looked tired. He had flown all night, and most of the morning, dropping off his charges who were now across the different keeps. Now he stood in front of the combined councils and demon army generals, finishing off his report of what he had seen in the approaching demon horde's sleeping areas.
So, they're starting to form groups. Have we been able to get any idea of what their leadership is like from the ones with Lazar?
Alcal looked to Kala, who had been talking to him last through a voice chat.
We've got a rough leadership forming. Lazar suggests that we attack it and take it out before it has time to fully form.
I agree with him, Kala said.
Before we get in there, we need some more information, like what the hell is wrong with these demons.
Malkur had a troubled expression on his face. His medical people couldn't figure out what was going on with them.
Well, I think I might have an answer for that,
Efri said. The tension in the room ratcheted up a few degrees at Efri's frown.
If it wasn't for the information on the Xalur demons one of my people has been researching, we wouldn't know what's wrong with them. It seems that somehow the Dark Lord has been able to make them hunger after souls. They can't absorb or use the souls like the Xalur do to power their own magic, though they still hunger after devouring them. Their minds have been imprinted with that idea. Add in a metabolism that burns through food at 20 times our own. They're mindless beasts, in a constant state of unending hunger.
Can we fix it? Malkur asked.
No. Their very bodies need so much sustenance that we couldn't break the cycle of their hunger, to trick them into thinking that they didn't need to kill anything they see for sustenance. To try to just get a part of that filling feeling of devouring a soul.
Efri shook his head.
By the Grey,
Kala swore. Alcau's face was hard as he looked to the rest of the people in the room. All of their eyes were hard, but the thought behind those eyes clear.
So we kill them all, and we wipe their stain from Amarillia. I will contact the Stone Raiders and see when they will arrive. I want to see if we can't get some of our own people within the Demon Horde's camp. I think if we had a few of the Black Hands blend in with them, and then start to make internal conflicts, it might be useful, Alcau said.
Kala nodded approvingly. Krenua raised his hand.
Krenua!
Alcau acknowledged his second in command.
Another thing I noticed. They didn't use their interfaces.
Alcau's stony face turned into a hungry smile.
So how long do you think this is going to take? Josh asked Dave, who was hanging from a rafter that had multiple arms on either side of it. Before it, there was a cylinder of soul gem crystals. After the arms attached to the ceiling, there was a complex runed cylinder encasing the soul gem.
Well, we've got the soul gem extruder, which the repair bots are dealing with, then the small machine shop. Those aren't bad at all. Mostly, it's this main assembly line and the rune engravers. With all of these working parts, they need some good old maintenance on them and replacing a few sections down the line.
Dave tapped his chin and thought.
Be about 2 days?
If you give me the repair bots, I can teach them most of this stuff, and then I can focus on the full replacements and the engraving areas.
Fine, you'll get them.
Josh looked around the line in awe.
We're in the middle of a factory that makes wormholes.
Ha! This game is awesome.
Dave hid his frown as Josh looked up and down the line. A cylinder was at one end. At the other, there were full teleport pads with their massive plates that lay on the ground. Underneath was a complex collection of runes and components that ringed down its length. Thick steel covered over these runes, engraved with their own forms that were made to hide the runes that made it up. Although it had taken Dave a million mana points for him to destroy the runes on the broken teleport pad, it would have taken 10 million mana points to destroy the runes in a working teleport pad. He'd consumed the books on teleport pads and portals up to the expert level. He didn't get it all, because of the higher concepts that Malsor was hacking his way through, but he got enough.
So, what's the plan? Dave asked.
After this? We'll go take some R&R, see the sights, get a tan, maybe go see a few dungeons.
Josh's tone made it clear he was making it all up on the spot. Dave gave him a look. Josh devolved into laughing, a big smile on his face.
Well, we finished this off. Get our loot, move to where the Eggstars are. Then I'm thinking Devil's Crater is interesting this time of year.
A smile spread across Dave's face. He had enjoyed fighting through the Aleph's facilities. He'd learned and grown a lot. Now he was looking forward to getting the hell outside.
Well, that is one hell of a way to show back up after being gone for so damn long.
Dave grinned.
Stone Raiders take on Demon Horde. Does have a certain ring to it.
You know the Dark Lord's not going to be happy. This will be the third time we've messed up something good for him. First with the Citadel, then the Arch Lich, and now attacking his new massive army made up of creatures of power.
He's just an archetype. There's no actual Dark Lord. Just some AI. Though if they did make one, be kind of interesting to fight him.
Josh looked thoughtful.
Want to fight gods? Dave asked dryly.
Well, sounds a little more interesting than your average weekend of gaming.
Dave couldn't help it. He laughed. Josh joined in a few moments later.
I was thinking about this all wrong. I was thinking that it was just on Party Zero to deal with what Amarillia really is.
Dave wanted to tell Josh and the rest of the Stone Raiders the truth. They weren't strong enough yet. Maybe if they could defeat a god, they might be ready to know the truth of Amarillia, and capable of defending themselves against whatever the Jukal brought to the fight. Dwayne and Kim walked out of their teleport pad that was hidden in a mountain range close to Devil's Crater. The Stone Raiders, who weren't needed for the final fixes to the portal factory, moved around them.
They'd become closer as a guild in the time that they had fought through Aleph. A few laughed or started to kiss the ground. The Aleph's homes had been dark at times, especially if their mage lights were out, though it hadn't been horrible. All of them had big smiles on their faces, joking and laughing as they moved out of the silver arch that looked like a solid wall. They were greeted with a bright midday sun. They just basked in the sun for a while. "Well, let's go see what this demon horde's all about." Duane led them down the mountain range and off toward Devil's Crater. Excitement was in the air. All the Stone Raiders ready for their next battle. It had been less than a week since they killed the Arch Lich, and they were already starting to crave a battle to challenge them.
I need a good beer and a city to drink it in," Duane bellowed.
I could just do with about 3 weeks of sunbathing," Kim sighed.
"Well, how about an entire demon horde?" Kim's face turned thoughtful, as she seemed to weigh the options in her mind.
"Yeah, I guess I could."
She laughed and broke out into a smile.
"Would just be stones if not for the raiding part."
"Well, let's get a move on, Stone Raiders. Can finally see how fast we are." Duane jogged down the weaving trail that dropped down to a large forested plain. Duane whooped as he ran faster and faster. Fighting in the Aleph areas, they'd been cramped in, unable to get in a large run, to reach their full speed. There was something freeing about just running and testing one's limits.
"Prince Alcal, we have a group of people moving toward your keep,"
one of the scout commanders said as soon as they connected to Alcal. "Bring our forces to full readiness."
"Yes, sir."
The scout disconnected as Alcal opened up another chat.
"Anna, I was wondering if I should be expecting anything today."
"Well, a group of the Stone Raiders is heading toward you right now. Most of our pure combat forces, at least," Anna said.
"I think we just spotted them." "Who am I looking for?"
Alcal sighed. "Kim and Duane are the highest ranked two with them."
"Thank you. I better go say hello."
"See you soon enough. We're almost done here."
"I look forward to it."
Alcal gave a small smile. He wasn't sure whether anything would come from his feelings, but even if not, he had become close to Malsor, Induka, and Anna over the last couple of months.
"It will be good to see my friends in all the chaos that is about to come."
Anna cut the chat, and Alcal wandered out of his personal rooms, looking out over his keep, Devil's Crater, and the plains that lay around it. He stepped off his balcony. His wings let him glide down to the parapets that watched over the crater's sides.
"Where are they sighted?" Alcal asked.
It wasn't long until his guards followed down from his balcony, watching for any possible threats to their master.
"Over there, sir,"
one of the watchers on the wall said. Alcal pulled out a telescope and looked in the direction they pointed. Alcal saw colors moving through the natural foliage and the glint of polished metal. Something was definitely coming through the forest. He didn't know what it was, but they were heavily armed. Alcal watched for a bit, seeing the group pass through a clearing at an alarming speed. They seemed to be laughing and joking, though it looked like a group of brigands by their mismatched gear.
"It might be the Stone Raiders. Pass the word that all forces are to wait until engaging," Alcal said.
One of his guards, who served to pass messages to the rest of his forces, opened their interface and opened up the right chat groups. The keep was a mass of movement. People knew their positions after tireless drilling from one infraction or another. It had just been minutes since the group of armed and armored individuals had been spotted, but all of the demons and beastkin on duty were ready. Those who had been off duty would be another 30 minutes or so. It took 3 hours until the group started to slow down. Their pace was impressive. They ran nearly as fast as the demons could fly. A large man, wearing about 3 different kinds of armor, held up his hand, halting his people far enough out to give them time to start dodging, if Alcal had bows.
"Another thing that we're going to have to invest in."
Alcal had archers, and many were trained in the art, but the problem was making proper bows. His crafters weren't of the highest quality. The beastkin were trying their best, but supplying an army as big as the demons and beastkins was a massive workload. Add in settling into a new home, and it turned into a downright nightmare. Even simple pikes were in short supply. Swords and shields were for training, with only Lazar's soldiers being anywhere near to equipped. The man walked closer. Alcau saw the armor. Even to his eyes, it looked as though it was expensive and powerful.
"Hey, we're the Stone Raiders. Was told that you were interested in hunting down a demon horde that's looking to mess with your home. The name's Dwayne."
Alcau focused on the one called Dwayne, waiting for his skill to kick in. Dwayne Trebalt, human, level 184. Alcau felt the tension fall from his back.
"I will go down and check their identities."
His guard didn't have time to argue as he stepped off the parapet and glided down the road that ran up the cliffs through the keep and into Devil's Crater. As he glided down with his wings, he heard excited murmurs from the group ahead of him. They didn't look organized at all, just milling about with smiles on their faces. Alcau looked at their eyes. Although all of them might be smiling and laughing, their hands were next to their weapons. These were people who were used to being attacked at any moment, and were ready to respond in any situation.
"Ah, you look like that Alcau fella. Party Zero is finishing up the last of the last quest, and then they'll be on their way over. We thought it might be an idea to check out what we're dealing with and get to know one another."
Dwayne extended his hand to Alcau. He was a large, tanned man, with a big smile on his face. Alcau looked for Dwayne's aura. He couldn't figure out its size, making him raise an eyebrow in interest.
"Thank you for coming to help us."
Alcau took Dwayne's hand and shook it.
"Seems we're in the business of helping races of lore come back from the brink."
Dwayne smiled.
"Welcome to Devil's Crater," Alcau said.
"Thanks for having us. So, about this demon horde problem you've been having. They're about 5 weeks away, right?"
A woman walked up.
"Kim, introduce yourself. You know it's the nice thing to do," Dwayne said.
"Fine."
Kim held out her hand.
"I'm Kim. I do magic stuff and raids like no one's business."
Alcau, demon prince and general of the Devil's Crater army. Alcau shook her hand.
"Oh, snazzy. I like men with big wings and large armies," Kim said, giving Alcau a sly wink.
Alcau shook her hand. The massive demon unsure of how to respond as his mouth opened and closed.
"She gets like this,"
Dwayne apologized. Kim grinned at Alcau's confusion. Alcau chuckled.
"I have often thought the same thing. It is no worry. I do not know. I will bring it up in the next meeting. I think most of the soldiers are already calling themselves it. It would make them more identifiable.
Having a name that's neither demon nor beastkin brings you together. Calling it the Demon Beast Army? Nah. But the place, the thing that connects you.
Perfect." Kim winked.
"She made up the Stone Raiders Guild name and we've never lived it down."
Dwayne sighed. A few of the Stone Raiders laughed while Kim looked as though she were preening in the limelight.
"Well, please come in. We have much to discuss."
Alcau indicated for them to follow him as they made the climb up the road. He shot a glance at the Stone Raiders again, nearly 100 undying warriors who could come back time and time again, with more knowledge each time.
"It's no wonder the players hold so much power in Emerylia."
"We have to do something about that damned Exdar's traitors branch,"
Geswald, a balding human in flowing robes, said. A vein throbbed on his forehead.
"Agreed, but what?"
Tommen, a stick-thin wood elf wearing an expensive and over-the-top purple suit with pink highlights, asked.
"We cut off their supplies, take out their business. We put pressure on those who openly support them."
Geswald slammed his fist into the armrest of his chair.
"You want to try and pressure the Mage's Guild?"
Lady Pina looked to Geswald. Her omnichrome eyes and golden skin of a high elf had captured more than one man's attention.
and not his mind.
Of course not! I mean the other rabble around them selling food in their lesser wares,
Geswald said.
If we do something, then the Traders Guild is not going to give us coverage on this. If we win, then they'll share in the profits. Otherwise, they won't lift a finger if this comes back on us.
Orlani, the last person in the room, said. The overweight human sipped from an elegant wine glass.
I know that!
Geswald let out a frustrated noise. He was the chapter head of the Traders Guild in the area, but even he knew his limits when it came to his power. The guildmaster himself made it clear, in flowery words, that they did not think going up against the Exdar's traitors branch in Verloon was a good idea.
It all comes from that treaty that they have made with the Stone Raiders. It seems that somehow, even with the raiding group seemingly vanishing from the face of Emerilia, they are still having the Exdars fence their goods,
Tommen said.
With it, they have become one of the largest trading guilds held primarily by players.
Something that we can use to our advantage.
Geswald waved his finger at his companion.
Oh?
Tommen asked. Everyone's interest was on the chapter leader.
Players are a rather simple sort of people. They think that they are somehow in charge of what they do here. That they are doing quests, not being given them. They never think in the ways that the POE move and do things.
The players, while having an amazing amount of abilities, are no different than our normal customers. Give them the right incentives, show your wares at the right places, and you can make a sale.
If we are to get the players to attack the Exdar's traders, making them think that the Stone Raiders won't be able to retaliate, it would only be normal. They have been gone for 6 months. We can get them to attack the Exdar's branch. We send in the city guard as soon as the people are done finishing off the Exdars, and move in our own people to take whatever remains in the branch. One night, and we will destroy their supplies and make them unable to supply the Mages Guild and college.
Geswald hit his hand on his chair in glee.
You mustn't have heard about what happened with the PKP Guild.
Lady Pina's voice was light, as everyone's attentions moved to her.
Please continue,
Tommen said.
There was once a guild called Players Kill Players. They were one of the strongest guilds around. They went around working under the Assassin's Guild. They would kill POE or player. It didn't matter to them. Even when they were not working, they would kill anyone who looked to have anything expensive. They made holding the most mirror of communications a status symbol. They had some of the strongest and most powerful weapons from killing players after they finished a hard raid. They had around 500 players, till about 7 months ago.
She looked around the room.
In Selhai Capital, the PKP hunted the Stone Raiders, killed a whole lot of them, too. Then, half the guild seemed to come out of the forest, cutting them down from behind. The Stone Raiders, outnumbered by nearly 4-1 in pure players, pulled out a victory. They might not have been high levels, but they could fight. They placed a soul hex on those who attacked them. A hex from the Lady of Fire. The Stone Raiders were run out of town by the magistrate, and seemingly disappeared. Here and there, the PKP were killed off by the Stone Raiders. They were constantly being burned by the Hex, and the Stone Raiders could locate them, until the PKP messed up again, and attacked an Exdar's trader's caravan.
She sipped from her wine, hiding her emotions perfectly. Her eyes flicked up, looking to those in the room with anger in them.
They attacked, without warning, but the Exdars knew. Stone Raiders poured out of their wagons.
They had been ready and waiting. Still, it wasn't enough to kill off the PKPs amassed there, until they started putting down a massive steel plate. There were confused looks around the room. From this steel plate, dozens of stone raiders charged through. Don't know